Jesus is the healer. He has already suffered every sickness and disease and provided protection from danger for all mankind. Join Gloria Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory and learn more about the healing ministry of Jesus.
Most of the time, it's what you say out of your mouth that you get. And what you say out of your mouth comes out of your heart. So if you have more belief in your heart for sickness than you do healing, you're going to be talking sickness and disease. And have you noticed that when you're sick, you want to tell somebody? You just feel like somebody needs to know. No, we don't need to know when you're sick, and you don't need to know when I'm sick. God needs to know, and He does know. And I just return the healing scriptures back to Him. Hallelujah. God's word, Proverbs 4 says, is medicine to all our flesh. And it says we put it in our eyes, in our ears. It gets down into our heart. And then it comes back out our mouth, hallelujah, with power and faith in it. Bless the Lord. So faith has everything to do with your healing. It has everything to do with your protection. It has everything to do with everything in your life. You've got to have the Word every day. Study the Bible, your own Bible, every day. Take some portions of Scripture every day. It's healing to all your flesh. It's life to your flesh. Now, that's right. You take God's medicine when you're well and when you're sick. The Word of God is God's medicine. You can take it every day. You should take it every day. You should get a big dose of it every day. You can't overdose. You can't get too much. The more you take, the stronger you get, the healthier you get, the more prosperous you get. There's not anything in life that you can do with your time, including your job, that will pay you greater dividends than the Word of God going in your eyes and in your ears and getting in your heart so that it talks to you. How do you know if the Word's in your heart? It will talk to you. You'll hear it. It'll come up. How do you get it in your heart? Can you take a pill? No. Can somebody else do it for you? No. Can you hire somebody to do it? No. You have to do it yourself. You have to put your eyes on the Word and put your ears on the Word. Listen to the Word. Gets down into your heart. It becomes faith. It's available to come out at a moment's notice. I get in the Word every day. I mean, it's very, very rare. Circumstances absolutely beyond my control that I don't get in the Word of God. Why? Because I live by the Word. I mean, I've chosen to walk by faith and I've chosen to live by the Word of God. I can't live by the Word of God if I don't eat it every day. Amen. Glory to God. So however strong you want to be, you determine it's what you do with the Word of God. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, healing, health to all their flesh. The Word of God is supernatural. It's God's medicine for your flesh. It's God's medicine for your surroundings, your job, your whatever you're going to do, you know, whatever you're doing in life. It's God's medicine for your family. It's God's medicine for your finances. If you've got children problems, get children scriptures. Go over them every day. Believe you receive when you pray. Don't go to God and talk about how bad He is. No, give God something to work with. What's He going to do? Agree with you? And then look what happens. No, you give God something to work with. You stand on the scriptures that promise deliverance for your children. And give God something to work with, and it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. So the 22nd verse says, they, the words of God, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. And above, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's look at, I'm going to save that one till right before we pray. I want to look at the ministry of Jesus some today. Let's just look at how easy Jesus was to heal, to receive healing from. Look at Luke. Let's look at Luke 5. We're going to look at Jesus the healer. He's the one that's healing here today. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still operates the same way. He was so willing to heal, so eager to get people delivered. Let's just look at a few places here. In Luke 5, let's look at verse 3. Wait, where do I want to start? Let's look at 12. Go down to 12. And it came to pass. Well, he had just had the miracle of the fishes, you know, in chapter 5. He told them where to fish, even though they'd toiled all night. At his word, they let down their net in a different place, and they got this huge net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish. A miracle catch. And so then they followed him. He took the disciples. They became disciples. Simon became a disciple. John, James. And it came to pass in verse 12, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Hallelujah. Look at let's see what else we want to look at. Here in verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee. So the professionals were there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which had the palsy. Now in the Amplified it says he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. They had to carry him on a bed. They sought means to bring him in and lay him before him, Jesus, lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the roof. They went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling, with his couch, into the midst of before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, Jesus can see your faith this morning. You know, you might look good to me, but he knows when you're using your faith and when you're not. He sees your faith. Now this morning, when we pray, you're going to give him something to work with. You'll be receiving his word right now, believing his word right now. And when we pray, you begin to do what you couldn't do before. Give God something to work with. Let him see your faith. When he saw their faith, you know, I don't know that he saw the man's faith, but he saw these fellas that were letting him down through the roof. He saw their faith. He said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Of course, if you had a few friends that wanted to bring you over to the convention center today and you couldn't get in the door and they said, well, we'll just go up and tear the roof off. If you didn't have a certain amount of faith yourself, you'd say, I don't think that's a good idea. So I believe the man did have faith. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they saw this miracle before their face. And they began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, why reason you in your heart? Is it easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say. See, Jesus is using his words. He operated with faith just like you're supposed to. I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. And immediately he rose up and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Take up your bed and get with it. Now that's what we're going to do this morning. When we pray, we're going to release our faith. Jesus is here. He always comes to healing school. We never had healing school that people didn't get healed. So I know he's here. And they were all amazed and they glorified God. Hallelujah. Let me see where I want to go from here. Look at Luke 6. In verse 6, just right next door. So the scribes, those professionals, are after him again. They're here too. It said, in verse 4, he went into the house of God. Jesus was preaching a sermon. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbaths. Verse 6. And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered in the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. His right hand was deformed. It was shrunk. It was unusable. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him. You know, they say if you're on fire, people will come see you burn. Well, that's true. They watched. They didn't want to participate, but they were looking to see how they could trap him, really. The scribes and the Pharisees, but they didn't seem to slow him down any. The scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Isn't that a sad commentary? But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he rose up and stood forth. I will ask you one thing, he said to them, to the Pharisees, to the professionals. Is it unlawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Here was this man here. He was all gimped up. His little hand wasn't normal. It didn't match the other hand. Jesus had a lot of opposition present. Did it bother anything? No. Just gave him something to work with. He said, stretch forth your hand. There it went. Glory to God. Jesus is the healer. He's the one that heals you today. It doesn't really matter whether you're paralyzed, whether you've got a missing part, whether you need a new eye, a new liver, a new kidney, whether you need life in your legs. Jesus is the healer. And when we pray, he's the one you're looking to. I'm giving you the word. Preach the word. Faith comes. But Jesus is the healer. He's the one that's with you when you're at home and you're not in a healing service. Symptoms come on you. What do? You do the same thing you do here. When you get on the Word of God and you command sickness and disease to depart from you in the name of Jesus. He said, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the others. As the other. And wouldn't you think those professionals would be glad about that? Here's a man that had his hand messed up probably most of his life or all of his life. Now it's straight, but look what happened in verse 11. They were filled with madness. That's a sick people. They were filled with madness when this man got healed. And they communed with each other what they might do to Jesus. We don't ever want to be a Pharisee or against the move of God. Sometimes you might not understand what somebody does. And you might not know that it's in the Bible. And it could be in the Bible and you didn't know it. Just think, we might not know everything. So the best thing for us to do is to not volunteer to be a judge. That's the safest place. If it's not in your business, don't mess with it. Hallelujah. That'll help you stay well, too. And so, let's see what we want to do. Where do I want to go? It says here in verse 17 in Luke 6, says, "He came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear and to be healed." They came to hear and they came to be healed of their diseases. "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Virtue is going out of him by his Spirit to heal all. Every person that will give him something to work with today, call faith, can receive.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn, how to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life. Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculate.
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's master plan for your life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever. Pre-order God's Master Plan for Your Life before May 1st and receive as a bonus the brand new 60-minute DVD absolutely free. Reserve your copy today and receive the book and the bonus DVD, a $40 value, for a special price of $19.95, including shipping, handling, and taxes. The bonus DVD is an exclusive offer from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, available only through this pre-order special. Order God's Master Plan for Your Life online at kcm.org.
KCM partners Craig and Donna Lively and their three children traveled from their home in Michigan to attend the Believers Convention in Milwaukee. During that week, 12-year-old Ellen and her mom took some time to visit with our crew. They were eager to share a personal healing testimony. Their story began when Ellen was 9, during a ski trip that had been scheduled for the homeschool group. No one anticipated the accident that impacted this December day.
I was going downhill. I went over the bump and my skis popped off and I couldn't move.
There were several fathers with them. One of the fathers is a state trooper and he said, "You need to leave now and get down there. This is an emergency." But it was a little unnerving when they brought her down.
Did you see her knee there when they unwrapped it?
We did, and we deliberately didn't let her see it because her knee was hugely swollen already and it was mangled. Her foot was, I thought it was a leg broken or something because her leg was going in a strange direction.
So you guys drove to the hospital. What did they tell you at the ER when you got there?
They could tell that there was no break in the knee, which I rejoiced about at that time. I'm like, yay, no break. You know, swelling will go down, she'll be bruised, we'll be okay. And they looked at me and they said, "No, there's intensive damage done. You'll need to see the specialist." And we did get her into the specialist the next day. And of course, they did more x-rays and tests. And that's when they said to us that they didn't think she'd walk again. That it was, that they'd get the leg straightened out and that they would get her upright. But she would probably use a walker and crutches. They had done like a kind of brace cast around it to immobilize it. And she's just in pain through this whole thing. And the whole time she was complaining about this ankle. And, you know, being the all-wise mother, we kept saying, "But it's not your ankle that's hurt, Ellen. And finally, I took her back to the emergency room. And that's when we discovered the ankle was broken.
So you went back to the specialist after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know the ankle's broken, so you've taken care of that. What did he tell you about her knee?
Well, they wanted to start her on physical therapy. Yeah, because they didn't want her to lose what little mobility motion she did have in it. So that, you know, was wise. And they would start her with water therapy first. She was putting no weight at all for any reason on that leg or foot. So this is in December. They were telling us that they were hoping by June to have her in a walker and maybe down to one crutch on one side. And that was really the best they were looking for.
So the best the medical community could offer you was...
That was their goal.
To get you on a walker.
Yeah.
And they did tell us it would have been better if she had broken it, because then they could have gone in surgically and known what to do. And
the option of complete recovery was not very probable.
Not very probable. They were just hoping to keep some motion in it, and
wow,
that was where we were.
When you finally realized, Ellen, that as far as the doctors were concerned, you might not be able to return to the way you were before the accident, could you accept that? Did you feel like that was the final answer?
No. I knew that for what I'm going to do in life, I need my other leg. And that I can't have that. And so I chose to believe that I would have complete restoration of my knee and the ankle in quick time.
And Donna, how did you all handle the news from the doctors?
Well, we had already decided back up on the hill that that wasn't God's plan. God didn't do that to her. We had already made our choice.
We did have Gloria's healing scripture
we played
thing
the
that we played
scripture.
In the hall. And over and over and over till I memorized like the entire tape.
So it was this 90 days of constant guarding her thought life, her words, and her actions. Because there were a lot of days she had to do physical therapy at home with her every day, on top of the 3 days.
Was this hard for you, Donna, watching your little 9-year-old daughter go through some of the things that she had to go through?
Oh, yeah. I just had to thank God. Because what if we hadn't given her the word way back when? If the word hadn't been available to her, her choices would have been limited. And that's not saying anything about us. But I just sat that whole time and marveled that I'm living in a day and an age where I can give this to my child freely in a country that I can not have to hide it. And so there was the pain of watching her walk it out on her own. And just being a support for her instead of being the mom and dad to the rescue, we're just going to use our faith. But there was also, for me, this huge thanksgiving that she had all the tools. And she could make the choice. And this could be done.
The Lively family stood together in their decision to believe that Ellen's knee was healed. After just 6 weeks of physical therapy and continued encouragement and strength from the word and prayer, Ellen Lively did not need a walker. She did not need a crutch. She defied every medical prognosis and expectation and walked alone on her own 2 feet.
He gave her the strength to do those therapy sessions. He gave her the encouragement, even if it just meant a younger sibling praying over her. He supplied everything else. All she had to do was keep making that choice and going with him. Just stay with that. That's all God requires. Just say yes, and he does everything else.
You were 9 years old. Some folks thought you might not walk again, that you might not be able to ride a horse, you might not be able to do the things that you want to do. How are you today, Ellen? What are you able to do?
I can do anything I want to do, and pretty with excellence.
Even before Ellen's skiing accident, the Livelys were living according to the Word of God. And when they received the bad report, instead of caving in, they believed God. They began to confess the Word. They stood on the Word. It was a journey of faith, but today her knee is healed, and she is walking in the wonderful healing power of God. It pays to be ready, and it pays to have the Word of God in your heart. Faith has everything to do with your healing. The Word of God is God's medicine, the Bible says. We should take the Word every day. When we take the Word of God, faith comes into us. And when we release our faith, when we release our faith in the Word of God, Jesus is ready to bring that healing. He is the healer. I want to pray for you. Father, I lift up every person today that needs healing. I'm asking you, Lord, to manifest yourself right now, right there where they are. I speak to sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. I speak to injuries, every kind of infirmity or malfunction in your body, and I command you to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be made whole. Now receive that and begin to do what you couldn't do before and give God the praise and the glory. Jesus is the healer, and He's always present and ready to heal when we give Him something to work with, which is our faith. Glory to God. God's master plan for your life is our offer today, and I'm very excited about it because it's the new book, and I'm teaching you how to get in the plan that God has for you. He has a plan for you, and it is a good plan, so I want to encourage you to get it. It's being released May the 1st in bookstores, but we're offering it to you today to pre-order here on the broadcast. When you reserve your book, you'll also get a free copy of the special edition DVD. Order some for your family. Order some from people that want to know about God, and that you know would be a blessing. It's easy to understand, and yet it tells you how to walk in the perfect plan of God for your life. Join me next week. We're going to continue to have healing school. I speak to sickness and disease right now, and I command sickness and disease to go from you right now in Jesus' name. Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Jesus has already paid the price for you to be made whole. It's up to you and me to receive that healing. Take it by faith. Receive it. Begin to do what you couldn't do before. Begin to act on the Word of God and say, I'm healed. I'm healed now in Jesus' name. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
For a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. 2008 marks the 30th year of Healing School. Make plans now to attend a convention or a victory campaign near you. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.